You've just joined the Prepper Broadcasting Network, where we promote self-reliance and independence. The views and opinions expressed are strictly those of the host or their guests. Visit us in the interactive chat room at PrepperBroadcasting.com.
Help. We are embedded in the system at its very root. It holds us. It strangles us. We need the system for our water, our food, our fuel, our shelter. We are utterly dependent upon it. The system is designed to create dependency. It's so much easier to control those who need. Despite faithfully feeding this hypnotizing system, it has failed us. Its puppeteers gambled our money, our resources, our democracy, our sustenance, and lost. And then they got bailed out at our cost. Their fiduciary failure was rewarded with lavish bonuses and golden parachutes.
Hi-dee-ho out there on the Prepper Broadcasting Network. My name's Doug, otherwise known as Goat Hollow. I want to thank you for stopping by for this, the inaugural session of the Surreal News. All the news that is the news that they don't want you to hear. A quick little pump for my own website at PrepperArchaeology.com in conjunction with Ron Foster, the author. There you'll find our ever-growing library of books for prepping reference that you might enjoy. All the books come from Amazon.com, and you'll find all of Ron's books there as well. So stop by often, and also while you're there, visit our Amazon store and do some window shopping. I thought I'd start out tonight with a little information about Iran. Article out of Bloomberg. Iran able to block Strait of Hormuz, General Dempsey says on CBS. This was dateline the 8th of January. Iran has the ability to block the Strait of Hormuz for a period of time, and the U.S. would take action to reopen it, Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman General Martin Dempsey said. They've invested in capabilities that could, in fact, for a period of time, block the Strait of Hormuz, Dempsey said in an interview aired yesterday on CBS Face the Nation program. We've invested in capabilities to ensure if that happens, we can defeat that. Should Iran try to close the Hormuz, the U.S. would take action and reopen the waterway, said Dempsey, President Barack Obama's top military advisor. Blocking the Strait of Hormuz, a strategic shipping lane linked to the Gulf of Oman with the Persian Gulf, would constitute a red line for the U.S., as would Iranian efforts to build a nuclear weapon, Defense Secretary Leon Panetta said. In other news regarding Iran, out of Russia Today, dateline January 10th, U.S. builds hospitals in Georgia, readies for war with Iran. The United States is sponsoring construction of facilities in Georgia on the threshold of a military conflict with Iran, a member of the Georgian opposition movement, Public Assembly, has stated. According to the Academian, that explains why President Mikhail Saakashvili is Roaming the Republic, opening new hospitals in its regions. Also on Iran, out of the New York Times, the oil price would skyrocket if Iran did close the Strait of Hormuz. If Iran were to follow through on its threat to blockade the Strait of Hormuz, a vital transit route for almost one-fifth of the oil traded globally, the impact would be immediate. Energy analysts said the price of oil would start to soar and could rise 50% or more within days. An Iranian blockade by means of mining, airstrikes, or sabotage is logistically well within Tehran's military capabilities. But despite rising tensions with the West, including a tentative ban on European imports of Iranian oil announced Wednesday, Iran is unlikely to take such hostile action, according to most Middle East political experts. Along the same lines, out of Reuters again, dateline Friday, January 6th, exclusive. West readies oil plan in case of Iran crisis. Western powers this week readied a contingency plan to tap a record volume from the emergency stockpiles to replace nearly all the Gulf oil that would be lost if Iran blocks the Strait of Hormuz, industry sources and diplomats told Reuters. They said senior executives of the International Energy Agency, which advises 28 oil-consuming countries, discussed on Thursday an existing plan to release up to 14 million barrels per day of government-owned oil stored in the United States, Europe, Japan, and other importers. In other news, once again from Reuters, dateline January 8th, Venezuela will not recognize the World Bank ruling in the Exxon case. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez said on Sunday that his country would not recognize any ruling by a World Bank tribunal in the multi-billion dollar arbitration case with ExxonMobil Corporation. Exxon took Venezuela to the World Bank's International Center for Settlement of Investment Disputes, seeking as much as $12 billion in compensation after Chavez ordered the nationalization of the Cerro Negro oil project in 2007. This article out of oilprice.com, Saturday, the 7th of January, well, almost related to oil. BP closed its solar business after 40 years. After 40 years, BP exits its solar business in the face of fierce competition. Are they to blame? If BP is short for Beyond Petroleum, it will have to change its name to just P. Now, after it officially shut down its solar business last month, a key division in its quest to develop cleaner sources of energy. After 40 years, the final decision to shut the door on solar mostly comes from the impossible competition faced from China. Just as important is BP's failure to capitalize on innovative technologies that would have allowed the company to profit in the solar market. Nathan Stoddard, one of BP's own researchers, invented a new way to make silicon wafers for solar cells that significantly cut the cost of high-efficiency silicon solar panels. The technology was originally developed in 2006, but never fully commercialized. Instead, the company spent the next 3 years in a testing phase, showing it off at trade shows and shut down its manufacturing operations in 2010. The rights were then sold to the Dutch company AMG. Switching up a little bit, once again out of Russia Today, Dateline January 7th, we'll talk about Homeland Security a little bit. Homeland Security monitors journalists. Freedom of speech might allow journalists to get away with a lot in America, but the Department of Homeland Security is on the ready to make sure that the government is keeping dibs on who is saying what. Under the National Operations Center Media Monitoring Initiative that came out of the Department of Homeland Security headquarters in November, Washington has the written permission to retain data on users of social media and online networking platforms. Specifically, the DHS announced that the NCO and its Office of Operations Coordination and Planning can collect personal information from news anchors, journalists, reporters, or anyone who may use traditional and/or social media in real time to keep their audience situationally aware and informed. Again, on the Homeland Security front, this article originally came out of the Natural News. Law enforcement officials can secretly install GPS tracking on your vehicle and spy on you without a warrant, says judge. This was Dateline January 9th. As long as law enforcement officials claim to have a reasonable suspicion that you might be involved with committing a crime, they are free to affix a GPS tracking device to your car without your knowledge and monitor your every movement. At least this is the opinion of U.S. Magistrate Judge David Nose from the Eastern District of Missouri, who recently decided that no warrant is needed to secretly track individuals suspected of criminal behavior. The ruling came after 69-year-old Fred Robinson was accused of receiving $175,000 from the city of St. Louis's treasurer's office for work that he actually did not perform. Robinson allegedly never went in for work and was suspected of holding his position with the city in name only. This led law enforcement officials and the Federal Bureau of Investigation to secretly affix a GPS tracking device to Robinson's vehicle while it was parked in a public place and proceed to monitor his activities. But rather than conduct a proper investigation, the officials allegedly went straight to the GPS option to determine whether or not their suspicion of Robinson's malfeasance was warranted. They apparently had no solid evidence and obviously no warrant, and yet proceeded to pursue Robinson as if they had a warrant. Switching gears a little bit, out of CBS Seattle, this was Dateline January 10th, folks. Hundreds threaten suicide at Microsoft supplier plant in China. Some 300 Chinese Foxconn employees manufacture Xbox 360 machines said they throw themselves from their Wuhan, China plant if demands for lost wages were not met. China Jasmine Revolution, activist revolutionary organization with the name borrowed from the Tunisian revolt that set off the Middle East unrest, reported that employees made their demands for a wage increase for 100 employees on January 2nd. Excuse me. Management at Foxconn, the world's largest contract electronics manufacturer, and a critical link in the supply chains of Apple, Dell, Nintendo, and Song, responded with an ultimatum. Employees could quit with 1 month's compensation awarded for each year at the plant or go back to working. Many employees quit, but Foxconn allegedly dishonored the agreement and awarded the former employees nothing. Around 300 workers returned to the plant in an uproar and staged their protest on the plant's roof on January 4th. This article out of the Gross Witch blog, Dateline 12:30. Judge to consider oral argument in a lawsuit against Monsanto for immediate release. Contact Jim Gerdinson, New York, December 29th. In a development celebrated by organic plaintiffs, Judge Naomi Buchwald announced yesterday that oral arguments on Monsanto's motion to dismiss the Organic Seed Growers and Trade Association et al. Versus Monsanto will be heard in federal district court January 31st in Manhattan. Judge Buchwald's decision will establish if organic farmers are to see their day in court. The 83 family farmers, small and family-owned seed businesses, and agricultural organizations comprising the organic plaintiff group represent over 300,000 individuals. The landmark lawsuit filed in March 2011 challenges the validity of Monsanto's transgenic GMO patents and seeks court protection for innocent family farmers who may become contaminated by Monsanto seed. Turning now to the election a little bit, CBS 6 out of Richmond, Virginia. Judge denies lawsuit. Rick Perry and others remain off of the Virginia Republican primary ballot. Federal District Judge John Gibney ruled against Texas Governor Rick Perry and other Republican presidential candidates who sued in an effort to appear on the ballot for the Virginia Republican primary in March. In essence, he said they played the game, lost, and then complained when the rules were unfair, wrote Judge Gibney in his opinion, which was released Friday afternoon in Richmond, Virginia. The suit was originally filed by Texas Governor Rick Perry, but Newt Gingrich, Rick Santorum, and John Huntsman later joined the challenge. According to the documents, the candidates asked the court for a preliminary injunction ordering that they be listed on the ballot for the Virginia Republican primary, despite the fact that they had failed to meet the 10,000 signature petition requirements to get on the ballot. Only candidates Mitt Romney and Ron Paul met the requirements. Out of the Washington Post, folks. Dateline, January 12th. Here it comes again. Obama asks Congress for debt limit hike. President Obama formally notified Congress on Thursday of his intent to raise the nation's debt ceiling by $1.2 trillion. 2 weeks after he had postponed the request to give lawmakers more time to consider the action. Congress will have had 15 days to say no before the nation's debt ceiling automatically is raised from $15.2 trillion to $16.4 trillion. In a letter to House Speaker John Boehner, Obama wrote that further borrowing is required to meet existing commitments. Obama had sought to make the request at the end of last month when the Treasury came within $100 billion of its borrowing limit. However, with Congress on recess, lawmakers from both parties asked the president to hold off. The House is out of session until January 17th and the Senate until January 23rd. I have an article here from Zero Hedge. As you're well aware, the ratings agency Standard & Poor's downgraded a number of European countries this week. This article was written by Tyler Durden over at Zero Hedge. Standard & Poor's had written a lengthy document explaining their reasons for the downgrades. Tyler was nice enough to glean some of the more important information for us out of that lengthy document. And here's his comments. All your questions about the historic European downgrade be answered after reading the following FAQ, or so Standard & Poor's believes. Ironically, it does an admirable job, because the following presentation successfully manages to negate years of endless lies and propaganda by Europe's incompetent and corrupt kleptocrats, and lays out the true terrifying perspective currently splayed out before the Eurozone better than most analyses we have seen to date. I picked just a couple of these frequently asked questions and thought I'd share them with you. We believe that the risk of a credit crunch remains in real in a number of countries as economic conditions weaken and banks continue to consolidate their balance sheets in light of tighter capital requirements and poor market conditions in which to raise additional equity. We estimate a 40% probability that a deeper and more prolonged recession could hit the Eurozone, with a likely reduction of economic activity of 1.5% in 2012. We believe that an even deeper and more prolonged slump cannot be entirely excluded. We expect this weak macroeconomic outlook, if realized, would complicate the implementation of budget plans, with slippages to be expected, which would likely further dampen confidence and potentially deepen the recession. I know that sounds like a lot of financial babble talk, folks, but what's really happening here is Standard & Poor's, perhaps the largest credit agency in the world, just said that Europe's headed for a Great Depression. Here's another article out of Reuters speaking about Europe. Hungary far right demands exit from European Union, burns the EU flag at rally. January 14th. Thousands protested against the EU Saturday at a rally of the far-right Jobbik Party, calling for Hungary's exit from the bloc, and added pressure on the government, which is seeking a funding deal with the EU and IMF to avert insolvency. Two MPs of Jobbik, the second biggest opposition party in the Hungarian parliament, set an European Union flag on fire at the protest in front of the European Commission offices in Budapest. This week, the EU declared war on Hungary in a very harsh and open way. Samed Szigeti, I always have trouble with these names, a Jobbik member of the European Parliament, told the crowd of about 2,000 demonstrators. After talks with lenders were derailed last month over a set of disputed laws, a plunging foreign currency and spiking bond yields forced Prime Minister Viktor Orban's conservative government to back down and try to seek a fast agreement. Orban is now reluctantly trying to make amends to lenders in order to secure a funding deal, which Hungary needs to be able to finance its debts from markets at a time when its economy is heading for a possible recession this year. There's that R word again. Well, that's the news for tonight. I hope you enjoyed it. If you want to peruse these articles a little bit more, hopefully tomorrow night I will get the links up for you on my blog page, which is at preppingwithgoathollow.blogspot.com. And again, please do remember to visit prepperarchaeology.com and check out the great books there. And hopefully we had a good night, and thank you for joining me. We'll see you next week. And remember this always: plan, prepare, think outside the box, and we will get through this. Thanks.
Help. We are embedded in the system at its very root. It holds us. It strangles us. We need the system for our water, our food, our fuel, our shelter. We are utterly dependent upon it. The system is designed to create dependency. So much easier to control those who need. Despite faithfully feeding this hypnotizing system, it has failed us. Its puppeteers gambled our money, our resources, our democracy, our sustenance, and lost. And then they got bailed out at our cost. Their fiduciary failure was rewarded with lavish bonuses and golden parachutes.
Today's broadcast has come to you through the courtesy of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. See our hosts, show schedules, archive programs, and more at PrepperBroadcasting.com. Thanks for listening.